Ballistic Radio, the fastest growing gun talk show in the country. Join us. We're going to explore the topics of firearms, self-defense, and your rights as a law-abiding citizen. Ballistic Radio, presented by Blackfire Ordnance Group, makers of TNT and TNT Black. Firearms finishes so tough, you need dynamite to take them off. Now, here's your host, John Johnston.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio, presented by Blackfire Ordnance Group. I'm your host, John Johnston. Remember, you can always listen to past shows at ballisticradio.com and get the latest behind-the-scenes info at facebook.com/ballisticradio. Coasting with me this evening is Matt the Minion. Matt, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic.
That's great. So I'm going to apologize to everyone in advance. We were having, I don't know, 20 million different conversations in the green room at once, and I think tonight might be interesting. So if it is, like I said, I'm sorry. Anyway, we've got a great show tonight. We've got Stephen Fisher from Sentinel Concepts going to be joining us any moment to talk about home defense and specifically the tools that we use for home defense and their pluses and minuses and all that. Now, if you follow the Facebook page, this show is going to continue an argument that I had with several people online and should be pretty fun and pretty informative. Just a quick reminder, this segment brought to you by Colt. Colt, the legend continues. Hit 1,000 rounds through the Knights Armament test rifle this week. Everything is still working excellently. I even posted a video of me running the gun one-handed, actually really poorly just because I'm not that good, but just to prove a point, like I said, with the people I was arguing with. But we'll get into that in a little bit, so... What else is going on? Oh, we've got Pauliepalooza is going to be next weekend, so we've got an excellent show with Kyle DeFore that we're going to be playing while we're up there at that. And I will post a link to where you can still get signed up for Pauliepalooza. I still think they have a couple slots left open for that. I'm sure there's more stuff that I'm forgetting, but honestly, I want to talk to Steve because he's taking the time out of his Sunday to come on to the show, and I know he's a busy man. So, joining us tonight, Mr. Steve Fisher from Sentinel Concepts. Steve, how's it going?
Awesome. How are you?
Not too bad. So, for those that and you've been a guest on the show, I want to say three times now, Steve, but for those that don't know, do you mind going over your background just real quick, and then we'll jump right into the meat of the show?
I've been a professional firearms instructor now for about the past 15 years. Did a good stint in law enforcement in Michigan. Currently a reserve officer with another agency, and for the past... almost 4 years, I was one of the primary instructors at Magpul Dynamics, and then this year I started my own company at SHOT Show, Sentinel Concepts.
Hey, perfect. And I appreciate you taking the time out of your Sunday. I know you just got done teaching a shotgun class this weekend, didn't you?
We just wrapped it up probably about two and a half hours ago, and I'm actually sitting back at a good friend of mine's house here and having cigars and bourbon on the deck and getting ready to barbecue some dead flesh.
There, perfect. I wish I was there. So
no, you don't.
Nah, I kind of do. I don't know. I like getting made fun of by you in person, you know, as opposed to on my radio show. But I guess I'll just have to settle for this. So we're going to talk about home defense tonight, and you were nice enough to participate in this conversation briefly on the Ballistic Radio Facebook page. But there was a long conversation that stemmed from an article that was written by a gentleman that was published that pretty much said rifles were a terrible thing to use for home defense, and I posted that link without too much of a comment other than I didn't agree with it, and then everyone lost their mind. So I guess what we'll start off with is, as far as selecting a tool for home defense between pistol, shotgun, and rifle, is there any commonalities that we need to have between all three of those platforms if we're going to use them inside of the house? Okay.
And that's learning to use them.
But why don't we go off that a little bit? Are you saying that maybe people should select what they're most familiar with and then worry about it after that, or what do you think?
You know, that's kind of a hard thing because, you know, there could be that person who has had, you know, granddad's shotgun handed down to him through three generations. It's been loaded, shoved in the closet or in the corner. You know, I mean, there's a million and one what-ifs to this.
Right.
And honestly, there isn't really a truly correct answer.
Well, I was hoping to tell people that at the end of the show, Steve. Now you've just completely given away the surprise.
Hold on. Disregard that, then.
Okay.
Disregard that.
There is a right answer, but we're not going to tell you what it is until the very last segment before we get off the air.
It'll be a surprise.
Right. So I have this conversation with a lot of people, and generally, for me, just because I'm more familiar with the pistol and also the carbine, that's what I go towards. I know you're a big shotgun guy, but the thing that I've always thought, no matter which one you're going to select, maybe having a white light on the gun is sort of important or available
primary
to you?
Primary concern is white light availability.
Okay. Why is that?
Because you have to be able to positively identify what you will be or will not be engaging.
Okay. Do you think that that's maybe something that is overlooked by quite a few people when they start talking about this?
Yes.
Would you like to expand on that answer?
No. You know why? Because, anyway, yeah, it really truly is. Because most people just kind of think about, you know, yeah, there'll be this bump in the night, and my house isn't truly dark, and I know who's in my home, and I know who's here, I know who's not there, and if they're there in the house, they're a bad guy, and they're going to need shooting. We get that a lot as well, we've heard that a lot.
Yeah, and that seems to be something, too. And I'm sorry, Steve. I know that you're my favorite, by the way, I have to say, at least in my top five, maybe top three. But as far as when people start talking about that and they start making absolute statements as far as what's going to happen when they find someone in their house, that how do we make people understand the level of
ambiguity?
Thank you, Minion.
Ambiguity?
Yes, that. See, Matt just earned his paycheck for the week right there. How do we make people understand the level of unsurety that goes into a potential self-defense shooting?
It's kind of hard,
mm-hmm.
you know, because honestly, there is all those variables. But the thing I guess people really truly need to understand is that the bottom line is positive ID, understanding your laws, where you live,
mm-hmm.
and that ethical, legal, and moral obligation you have.
So,
I mean, if some dude is in your house at 3 o'clock in the morning, you hear glass breaking, you wake up, you know, whatever the situation may be. I don't even care what time it is. Could be noon. I mean, I really don't care.
Yeah.
And the fact is, if you see some guy walking out of your house with your Xbox,
let him have it.
Take the Xbox and leave, bro. Yeah, I'll get another one. I'm not worried about it. I'll get the newest, latest, greatest one.
Yeah.
That's what insurance is for.
Yeah.
You know, but if there's imminent threat, danger to your family, then you have to make that decision of what your course of action will be.
Do you think that if people had a better understanding of the legal ramifications, even in a justified self-defense shooting, that they would maybe not say foolish things like, well, if they're in my house, they're getting shot?
Yeah, unfortunately, you can't fix stupid.
Yeah, that's true. I try every week, but you know, with varying degrees.
Your first problem is you argue on the internet.
Well, that is kind of part of my job, Steve. I'm sorry.
I know. I understand fully.
Yeah. It is rather fun sometimes. And sometimes
it's part of the entertainment for the listeners and all the fans.
Yeah. I like to think that the majority of people that follow the Facebook page are awesome, and they just really, really appreciate it when I have a conversation with someone that's not. We got to go to break here in a minute. Steve, if you don't mind holding the line, when we get back, we'll actually get into more of the platform selection and the pluses and minuses between the three major options.
Okay.
Cool. I'll put you on hold real quick. Right now, we're talking with Steve Fisher from Sentinel Concepts. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, presented by Blackfire Ordnance Group, makers of TNT and TNT Black. Firearms finishes so tough you'd need dynamite to take them off. Visit them online at blackfireordgroup.com. This segment brought to you by Walther. Walther and the new PPX. Joining us tonight, Steve Fisher from Sentinel Concepts. Steve, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. So we were discussing before the break how you can't fix stupid. And then we were going to go into firearm selection for home defense, which I figure we should probably get to sooner rather than later, since some people probably want to hear about that. So the breakdown the choices as far as what do you prefer, I guess, is where we'll start for a home defense weapon.
Honestly, you know, my personal choices are generally long guns,
mm-hmm.
Be it a shotgun or a carbine. Sometimes it's both. I'm lucky enough that where I live and the conditions that I live in and that I can have multiple guns around.
Okay.
Without worry. They're still safe. They're still secure, but I have them easily accessible. And often, a lot of times, you know, I have a pistol on me at all times.
Yeah.
You know, even around the house or whatever, because I wear my carry gun. That's why it's called a carry gun.
Yeah.
But in general, you know, let's take it for, you know, the what if of, you know, middle of the night, what have you. I just care less about all that because it's going to happen. It's going to happen daytime or nighttime. I generally keep a shotgun or carbine accessible to me.
Okay. So, and you mentioned something there, too, and I think that maybe this is something that should be examined a little bit further. The situation that you find yourself in, you're able to do that. Obviously, that's not going to be the same for everyone. So,
correct.
When people are evaluating the situation that they live in, what are some things to look at? I mean, it's the number one thing, accessibility for not only themselves, but maybe unauthorized users of the firearm?
The primary concern is, you know, making sure the gun is not accessible to unauthorized users.
All right.
Children, friends, family, visiting children, so forth and so on. But yet still having something readily accessible to you.
Right. Do you think that's one of the reasons why the handgun seems to be so popular, just because they're easier to secure or cheaper to secure? Or, I mean, what's your opinion on that?
You know, that's a hard one to peg down. I mean, mm-hmm. Yes, it is easier to secure. A lot of people have them, just like they have long guns. And unfortunately, a lot of people look at the long gun as being either a hunting tool or a range tool. To some people, it's just something to hang on the wall, you know, whatever the situation may be.
Right.
But, yeah, you know, primarily because handguns are pretty much easily to conceal, to hide, to put up on tall things, to put in small biometric safes, you know, drawers, whatever the case may be. So that's a general, you know, a generalization that we'll use.
Right.
It's not an absolute, obviously, because we don't know what everybody's thought process is, but it is a generalization that it is easier to hide and or to retrieve.
Right. And to be clear, too, and I'm pretty sure you're probably the same way, I advocate keeping your gun locked up if you don't have it on you, and locked up in such a way that you can get to it quickly, but still locked up. Hiding them generally is, in my opinion, a bad idea just because they're not as hidden as you think they are. As far as some of the misconceptions that go into the selection of a firearm, one of the things that I hear a lot is that, well, a rifle's a bad thing to use in the house because of over-penetration concerns. And then, yeah, I know, and we'll get there in a second. And then in the same breath, someone will say, but a shotgun's perfect because it won't penetrate an interior wall. Yeah, I know, right? Please discuss. What are your thoughts on that?
That discussion is based off people with a lack of knowledge of ballistics, terminal performance, and loads for guns.
Okay.
They do not understand, and most people will think of a rifle as a long-range gun, something that they're normally used to shooting ball ammo through, you know, full metal jacket stuff, and the high-velocity round, and it's going to travel far, and it's going to penetrate because the military uses this, or, you know, this is done. Oh, my God, it's so stupid. And here's the thing. There was a study done at Gunsight years ago and a lot of other places. This is available online.
Mm-hmm.
If you Google research this, you will come up with it. It's really simple. It's like real-world studies of 223 ballistic testing or something like that.
Right.
And this information is out there. It's available. Stop reading stupid internet forums and go do the research on true ballistic facts.
Right.
Okay. The fact is this, a 5.56/223 round with proper ammunition selection, that doesn't mean light varmint loads, or it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, almost absolutely has less penetration, dumps a lot of its energy quicker, breaks up faster through inanimate objects than a handgun round does.
Right. And the other thing that people seem to miss, too, because then they'll go into the shotgun and they say that for whatever reason, they do not penetrate interior structures as well as the handgun or the rifle because they're using buckshot or things like that. And then they start talking about birdshot for self-defense. Do you want to cover that real quick, too?
Here's a cool thing about birdshot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that advocated. There's some good people that advocated. Kyle DeFore is one of them.
Yeah.
Kyle has even said factually that, you know what, hey, for his practicality, you know, his shotgun is loaded with birdshot.
Yep.
That works for Kyle. Kyle's a great American, has some awesome, awesome background, you know, his time in the teams. Great American.
Yep.
I have absolutely no problem with his choice. Kyle is a trained, highly trained individual, and that's what he chooses.
Mm-hmm.
Myself, personally, I run a lot of buckshot.
Mm-hmm.
Basically throwing 33-plus caliber, you know, size projectiles.
Right.
In either 9 to, from 8 to 15 pellets, depending on what load you're using, the 24 pellets up to number 4 buck.
Yep.
Has great terminal performance in flesh.
Right.
Now, granted, at the average home distance, you know, birdshot, yep, it may work.
May being, may being the important underlying word in that sentence. So.
And has it worked?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Has it worked? Absolutely. No. But it does work.
Right.
Anything will work if you have it. But I don't like to leave those options open. I want to be the one in charge of that fate.
Right.
I want to be the one in charge of that destiny. And myself, my personal preference is, you know what? I run double odd buck. 2 3/4 inch. I know the patterns of my gun because I've tested them at the maximum effective distances in my house, so I know my load, my pattern selection, and what it does in my guns.
Right. So we've kind of covered two of the popular ones as far as 5.56 over penetrates. Well, no, it doesn't if you do the research. And one of the things that if you actually Google, Gary Roberts, Doc GKR online, has posted quite
a few.
Yeah, he's posted quite a few very informative scientific studies done between the various rounds. It shows sort of what they do inside of structures and in calibrated test medium. Birdshot can work. Some people select it. Some very well thought of people select it. But as you pointed out, they're very highly trained and understand the limitations of the load, and maybe selecting what they select without understanding the limitations is foolish.
I will say not necessarily foolish, but just uneducated.
Right.
You know, you have to do the research. This is a very serious topic. It's a very serious subject, and it means the potential to take another human being's life.
Yeah.
And more so, to protect the lives of yours and your loved ones. To me, that is not something to fool with. That
right.
is not something to play a game with. That is absolute 100% dead, serious, relevant information that needs to be discussed, thought out, and researched.
So, and that's kind of the important thing that I think maybe is lost upon people. And obviously what I'd like for folks to come away with once they're done listening to the show is that you need to do your own research. You need to make decisions based off of the situation you find yourself in and not off of a post you read that someone else does on the internet. With the selection that people make, I mean, How do we get them to understand that, though? I mean, that it's not just a, oh, hey, I'm going to keep a gun around. So how do we motivate people to actually put the time into it?
You know, that's the hard part. We understand that lives, jobs, family, careers, all these things get in the way of things.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to take this as serious as a lot of people do, you need to get out. You need to test these mediums. You need to test these load selections. You need to understand the whys to it. And again, you know, I'm in the training industry. A lot of people are. We tell people, go to classes, go to training, learn this stuff, learn it from professionals, get a better understanding of the whys. And that's absolutely great if you can afford to do so.
Right.
You should be able to. There's a lot of good local instructors around as well outside the national food chain.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you need to make sure you're getting the absolutes out of it and all the questions answered.
Okay.
You know, and, you know, it's funny to a lot of people because if you look at some of the ballistic testing that's out there, even on shotguns, one of Federal's premier slug loads actually penetrates less than their premier buckshot load.
Mm-hmm. And that's.
People need to understand these things.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that people get confused by, too, is that, you know, I had a conversation with someone that was like, well, I go out and shoot trees. And it's like, well, there's a problem with that. And the problem being that human beings are a little bit more water-filled than a tree is, and the way things interact with a solid medium versus a fluid-filled medium, or a medium that is containing, what, 80% fluid, something like that?
I'll bet. You know what that reminds me of?
Yeah, what?
Like Karate Kid Part 2, I think it was, where the guy's chopping on a tree log,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, Daniel's Daniel asks Mr. Miyagi, and Mr. Miyagi's reply is, "Don't know, never been attacked by a tree before."
Yeah.
Yep.
Why so when that works, that's my usual answer.
Right. wow. Anyway. And I'm trying to keep the show relatively on track, because I kind of had a feeling that if we all got on the air, especially after you got done teaching a class, and for whatever reason I'm having a silly weekend, that we would kind of wander a little bit.
Sure.
I guess, oh, wow. We got to go to break. When we get back, we'll actually talk about the differences between the three major platforms, pluses and minuses, and try and give people a little bit of insight in a more structured way as to what we're talking about. Right now we're talking with Steve Fisher from Sentinel Concepts. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, presented by Black Fire Ordnance Group. Makers of firearms finishes so tough you'd need dynamite to take them off. Visit them online at blackfireordgroup.com. This segment brought to you by TopGunSupply.com. TopGunSupply.com is your web source for fine firearms parts and accessories. True product specialists committed to delivering the highest level of customer support to you. They carry top name brands including Ed Brown, Wilson Combat, Les Baer, Sig Sauer, and many more, as well as premium AR pattern rifles. Whether you are looking to protect yourself, are a first-time gun buyer, or a competitive shooter, TopGunSupply.com can satisfy your firearms needs. TopGunSupply.com, your premier source for Sig parts and accessories. I think that's the best I've ever done that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, hey. Wow, it's like it's my job or something. Anyway, we're talking with Steve Fisher from Sentinel Concepts about home defense firearm selection. Steve, are you still there?
I'm here.
Perfect. So I'll try and get us going a cohesive direction, sort of, as much as I like making fun of the people that annoy us on the internet. I guess for people that are going, okay, well, I'm going to select a pistol, a shotgun, or a rifle for home defense, understanding the pluses and minuses of each platform would be kind of important. I think the other thing, too, that maybe people miss out on is that whether or not you are actually leaving your bedroom in the middle of the night if you hear breaking glass is going to be dependent on who else is in the house. Because it seems like to me, if I don't have my son with me, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stay in my bedroom until the cops show up. I mean, is that lost on most people, or that doesn't seem to be very discussed as often as it should be?
You know, I think people have a lot of misconceptions about this, and it is, again, situation environmentally dependent. And the fact is this, that if you have children, loved ones in the house, you hear things happening, depending on the layers, levels of the house, layout of the house between A and B, your primary concern is to get to them.
Right.
Period. Getting to them does not require some, you know, ninja-fied skills of building, clearing, CQB tactics.
Right.
It requires you to get there. Period. Dealing with unknowns, even though it's your house, you don't own that space anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They are in your residence. They control, because you do not know where they are. You may have a good idea, but you do not own that space. You do not occupy that space. Therefore, they do, which means they have control of that area.
Okay.
You own what you own, but they own the rest of it.
So the number one thing that I oftentimes hear when people start advocating for a pistol for home defense, which honestly I'm not disagreeing with that as a choice, because it's a viable option and there are good reasons to select that. It's not what everyone does, but hey, that's fine. The number one thing that I hear, though, is that they're easier to move through structures and easier to retain when moving through structures, which I don't necessarily agree with, but what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, boy. Here we go. Taking a handgun.
Mm-hmm.
Take an average size. Let's just call it a Glock 17.
Okay.
Say we got a Glock 17. If you punch out and present that Glock 17 at full presentation, full extension, unloaded against a wall, you know, put it up against there and measure it.
Mm-hmm.
Then stay in the same place, pick up your standard 16-inch barreled M4 carbine, put it in your shoulder, stock it, put that muzzle to the wall. I almost guarantee you are the same length of that carbine as you are with a pistol at full presentation. Now, that being said, compressing a gun, tight spaces, yep, no doubt about it, a pistol is positively easier to have retention on and to retain for most people, because of the fact that it is handy, it's shorter, they can pull it in tighter, closer to their body. And honestly, for a lot of people that don't have certain skill sets, such as maneuvering with long guns, absolutely positively true.
Okay.
It's no doubt about it. It is most likely much easier for the uneducated, untrained to move with. Nothing wrong with that, other than the fact you have an inferior caliber at that point in time at your accessibility. Will a handgun work? Yes, it will. Has it worked? Yes, it has. But do you have better tools available to you to do the job?
Well, and it seems like, too, that, and this is generally when I sort of pick up on the fact that maybe someone's never worked with a carbine very much when they start talking about this. And I noticed that you specifically didn't mention it, and I appreciate that because it makes me look smarter than I actually am. And I know you were wanting to mention it. Most of the time, whenever I use a carbine, I've got a sling on. And I can't help but point out it's really hard to take a carbine from someone that's slung properly.
Yes and no.
Okay.
I'll leave that at that. I won't get into the whole tactics debate at this point or certain techniques.
Yeah.
But if the gun is retained to the body, yeah, it absolutely is. It is hard, except for some really well-trained individuals. There can be enough of a struggle to deal with that problem while the gun is attached to you. The thing is this. If somebody is trying to grab your gun from you and it is pointed in their general direction, it's probably not because they want to see what kind of make it is.
Right.
At that point, you should press the trigger and shoot them off the damn gun.
Yeah. Well, and that seems to be, and this is funny too, because this comes up a lot, especially when people start complaining about police officers that have shot unarmed people. When someone starts fighting with you over the gun, who is actually armed at that particular point is sort of up in the air, isn't it?
You know, that's a whole other legal aspect I'm not even going to bite into, to be honest.
Oh, come on.
Create another bunch of headache. No, back on track. So here's what we have.
All right.
We have three types of firearms. We have basically two types of firearms. We have long guns. We have handguns. Got it. Maneuvering with a long gun, honestly, is not that hard inside of a residential structure. You have two directions that the gun goes. The gun goes muzzle up, the gun goes muzzle down, actually three, or it's directed at somebody giving them commands or taking action.
Yeah.
Would work. The fact is, it's not any harder to move that around inside a residence than a pistol. It's not. If you've ever done it, it's not an issue. People think because it's longer, it's going to be more cumbersome, unwieldy, whatever that case may be. It is not. You just have to understand the positions with the gun and how to manipulate it in your space.
Right. Well, and this seems like something, too, that it'd be really easy to get a dry gun, one that you've ensured is unloaded and made safe, and actually try moving through your house and figuring out how that works. If you can't attend a class and really learn it, at least you could play around with it a little bit beforehand, right?
Sure. Absolutely.
Why?
Absolutely.
I mean, do you think that's just something that people don't necessarily think about or doesn't even occur to them, or what is that?
It's one of those things that, like we talk about in a lot of classes as well. People don't do enough dry work with their guns at home. They don't, quote-unquote, take it for what it is, play with their guns enough. They don't get them out. It's true. It absolutely is, and it's the best terminology I can use for this.
Yeah.
But they don't get their guns out. They don't play with them. They don't manipulate the controls, work the charging handles, work the magazine releases, work the slide stop, slide release, work the pump actions, work the bolt mechanisms in their semi-autos, anything. They do not get enough time just practicing basic, simple manipulations of the gun. And that's one of the major downfalls. But
right.
Let's, looking at it, I mean, I'm sure you're going to lead into this, but the ease of use of each one of them.
Mm-hmm. I generally, and I put a lot of time into the pistol, and I'm sure you've noticed, and I post videos on the Facebook page of doing things that, to me are not that exceptional, but seem to get a lot of attention. The thing that people don't seem to understand is that I can perform a million times better with a carbine than I can with a pistol. And I put almost zero work into a carbine. And the things that I do with a pistol are relatively high level compared to the average shooter. And do you think that's the main draw to the shoulder-fired weapon that not enough people think of?
I do. When you honestly think about it, with a shoulder-fired gun, with any long gun, really, you generally have three major points of contact on that gun. Your non-dominant hand is controlling some portion of the gun. you have a primary fire control hand. You know, your primary hand is activating controls, holding on the gun in a firing manner, and then you have shoulder placement of the weapon. You have three really good solid points of contact on that gun, giving you effective control over it.
Right. Makes it easier to hit stuff.
Oh, my head hurts.
I know it does.
No, I know. No, absolutely. It really does. Because why? Generally, long guns are generally much easier to shoot than a handgun.
Right. Well, I don't know. It seems to, it's kind of like you said, that the ease of use is overlooked between the two, you know, when you're talking about a handgun and a shoulder-fired weapon. I was having a conversation.
I would obviously break it down as really the ease of hitting mm-hmm. with the gun, the act of firing.
Right.
With a long gun versus that of a handgun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a night and day difference, wouldn't you say?
Yes, absolutely.
A really good example of this, and I don't know that you were walking through when I was up there, but when I was at the Shoot House class with you and Pat, and once again, I'm not good with a carbine. I'm okay with a carbine, and I'm certainly not good at CQB stuff at all, but there was that one 40-yard shot down the hallway at night where you've got a no-shoot right in front, and then down at the long hallway, easy to miss. You know, you got a bad guy down there. And I want to say I did a perfect failure drill from 40 yards offhand in the dark with relative ease just because it wasn't that hard of a shot, whereas with a pistol, that would have been a lot more difficult, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, depending on the skill set of the individuals, I mean, that's an absolute in their gear setup and equipment. And now realize that most residential structures, you know, what are you looking at, 10 yards?
Yeah.
11 yards, maybe your longest shot in most houses, some 7 yards.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it seems like, too, that people think that at that distance, it's impossible to miss, especially, you know, because I do that at the range all the time, and it's not hurt at all. And the thing about that is, when you actually start looking at real-world incidents that have happened, people miss at that distance all the time, easily, wouldn't you say?
People miss at that distance all the time on the square range with no stress, just quote-unquote practicing, because they have lousy fundamentals.
Right.
How many people do you see at the range at 7 yards, you know, throwing shots low left, low right, high left, all over the map?
Right.
Yeah, could they be effective? Sure. But.
Yeah, it's... Again, well, I got to interrupt real quick just because we have to go to break. Right now we're talking with Steve Fisher from Sentinel Concepts. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, presented by Black Fire Ordnance Group, makers of TNT and TNT Black. Firearms finishes so tough you'd need dynamite to take them off. Visit them online at blackfireordgroup.com. And this is the last week. This segment will be brought to you by the Polypalooza 2 Memorial Training Conference. Join some of the top trainers in the country next weekend at the Raven Concealment Systems facility in Northern Ohio, where they will be teaching some of the most vital self-defense skills that every armed citizen should know. Lesson blocks will cover a myriad of topics suitable for shooters and students of all skill levels. For more information, click the Polypalooza 2 tab on the BallisticRadio.com homepage. Registration is only $250, and all of the money is going to benefit the Paul Gomez Children's Trust. Remember, click the Polypalooza 2 tab on the BallisticRadio.com homepage for more information, and hopefully we'll see you next week. And I know the Minion and I are looking forward to going up there and having some fun and learning some stuff. So, anyway, we are talking with Steve Fisher from Sentinel Concepts about home defense. Steve, are you still there?
I'm here.
Excellent. So, last segment. Drop some logic on us, sir. I want to hear what you really think this can be broken down into as far as, I mean, because I know people like talking about gear because that's what people like talking about, and it's easier to talk about than the mental game. But, I mean, what do people need to know when they really sit down to think about this?
What they really need to understand is what tools they have available to them, what the best tools are for that application, the ballistics of those tools, and that's all part of that understanding, structural layout, how to reinforce the home, to add layers, such as alarms, dogs, lights, all those things that are always talked about.
Now, when you say layers, too, that's just something that allows people to have more time to react and understand the situation that's going on?
Absolutely. Any time that you can get that gives you notice is a benefit.
Okay. So, I mean, for people that are wanting to find out more about this, and for people that, you know, are going, well, you know, I've never owned a gun before, and I want to get into this, and I want to really think about home defense, and start from step A and go all the way to step Z. I mean, where's a really good place to start, or is there a really good place to start?
They need to go and learn from everybody, but they need to have a foundation and good fundamentals to begin with.
Okay.
That's the biggest thing, absolutely positive, is they need to understand basic weapons manipulation, good fundamentals of shooting, and then go on from there. Everything is a learning curve. It has steps and layers that they need to get through.
Yeah.
The biggest problem that really started this is the internet, and that's the most stupidest place in the world for a lot of things because there's so much wrong information on the internet, and people who don't know believe this because anybody and their mother with a video camera can have a YouTube channel and have expertise, and there is some of the stupidest information in the world out there put out by a lot of ignorant people.
Right. Right. Well, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, the whole thing that started this was the internet. Let's talk about this. Let's be obvious.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't care why the article's written. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody has a right to that opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But when you put out information that people will potentially take and stake their life on, you will get people killed giving them the wrong information faster than you will by giving them the right info.
Right. Well, and that seems to be, and I know you make fun of me for arguing on the internet as much as I do, but the reason why I do that is it's kind of like you said, and I'm not saying, because I obviously don't have really any answers at all, but I at least can sort of point people the right direction as to where to get that information at. And I don't know that, I just, you know, it's kind of nice when I see guys like you or Pat actually interacting with, especially with the listeners, because that happened in the thread that we're talking about. I mean, we had Steve Fisher posting, we had Pat Rogers posting. You know, that doesn't happen too many places, and that was really cool to see.
I honestly usually ignore that kind of stupidity a lot of times on a lot of these subjects because, again, it's the internet. And here's the thing, you know, it came about being, you know, rifles were a bad choice for home defense.
Right.
Okay, I got it. You know, people argued it to a state of sheer, oh my God. And the point is this, have a gun, have a plan, have the ability to use those firearms on hand effectively.
Right.
You know, reading some of the things that came out, people are like, well, you know, I'm choosing a handgun because I can run to my kid's room and I can squat up my kids and I can hustle them back to the other room. Hey, genius. Why would you leave a secure spot that you are already bunkered in with your kids?
Yep.
Why would you leave that space that you already occupy with a gun, moving back into an unknown, turning your back to an unknown area that somebody else occupies that you do not control? You're stupid.
And now you have your kid with you. Yeah.
Yes, and now you're dragging your child into that unknown, into a potential gunfight.
Right.
You are stupid.
Well, I'm going to get emails about this. I can already tell.
No, I don't care.
I know
tell
you don't.
Tell them to email me. I will tell them they're stupid because they are stupid. Do not give up the strong point of domination where you have the ability to secure your children, where they are already secured, or your child.
Right.
That you control, that you own that space. That's it. Let what happens. If they take your TV, take your big screen, take your Xbox, I don't care. Let them leave. Your priority is the safety of yourself and your loved ones. Everything else is an immaterial object that means nothing.
Exactly. Well, and that seems to be something that people miss out on a lot. We're coming up towards the end of the show, and I want to give you a chance to talk about...
We need more time.
Yeah, well, I know we need more time. I keep getting told that, but you know... I don't know that people would get tired of that eventually, I'm sure. We got a couple minutes left, though, and I want to give you the chance to talk about some of the things you've got coming up. For folks that maybe want to come take a class with you or would like to learn more about what you do, how can they do that?
You know, they can find us on the web at sentinelconcepts.com and Facebook under Sentinel Concepts.
Okay.
Schedules are posted. We're flipping over the website to a new server. We're getting some more classes updated for the rest of the season. 2015 schedule should be out in about a week or so, which will include a whole array of classes based around home defense scenarios, including live fire in a ballistic shootout, as well as UTM, where you're actually going against role players with guns who actually shoot back at you, or you shoot back at them, and all those good things. And we're going to give people an understanding of, hey, this is your room, this is the kid's room, this is your layout, this is how things are done. How do you handle this problem?
Right.
Do you have to leave that space? Do you have to move? You know, all these things will come into play in that. But the honest bottom line on this is realistically this. Have a gun, have a plan, handle layers of defense. Understand that, yes, it may be easier to manipulate a handgun one-handed. Okay, I've got that. That's no problem. It's also easy to shoot a carbine with one hand within realistic capabilities of most average humans. But the thing is this, once you move to that space and you control that space, do not give it up. There's no reason to need to move your kids from one space to another.
Right.
There is no reason to have to technically fire that gun one-handed unless you're impacted.
Yep.
Or down to that hand. Yep, if you're opening doors, controlling spaces, doing whatever, there's a million and one what ifs.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is have a plan, get to the kids if that's the case, control that point where the kids are, control that space until the bad man goes away, be it by you or be it by their own choice or be it by somebody else coming in and putting them in a bag and dragging them out of the house.
Yep.
But you do not leave that control point.
Well, there you go. And hey, we hit the end of the show. Steve, I really appreciate you taking the time to come on, especially after you got done teaching a weekend of shotgun. I'm sure you were worn out, man. So,
wiped out, dude.
I appreciate it very much, and it's always a pleasure to have you on. So, anyway, you enjoy the rest of your night, sir. Enjoy that cigar and the whiskey. So, I'll talk to you later, all right?
I'm about to get on it. All right, brother, be safe.
Hey, you too. So, next week, we are going to be up at the Polypalooza 2 training conference, and you guys are going to get to listen to an excellent interview with Kyle DeFore that we recorded, talking about all sorts of stuff, including mindset and combat accuracy and his thoughts on that. Make sure you check out our website, ballisticradio.com, and also like our Facebook page at facebook.com/ballisticradio. I post a lot of videos on there, including one of me running a carbine one-handed just to prove a point, and I'm not even that good at it. So, anyway, thanks for listening, everyone. As always, be safe, and see you next week at Ballistic Radio.